Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Thank you, Perry Woods. And yes, indeed, the Weekend Report is on your radio. Thank you so much for joining us this week. My name is Tony Colombo, in studio with producer Frank Ladd. And my partner Chris Arps is once again connected through the marvel of modern technology at the Arps compound somewhere in the St. Louis metro area, under 50 feet of concrete and steel in a nondescript building that you would never find even if you tried your hardest to locate. Chris, how are you?
Tony, I'm doing well. You know, our producer, Frank Ladd, has a great show for us today.
I can't wait to get going. He does have a great show for us today. We are going to talk to Fox 2 News anchor John Brown, who has a new book out. And, of course, I'm sure has a lot of thoughts and opinions about everything that's happening in the headlines these days. So we'll talk to him about the news, and we'll talk to him about his new book. We will also talk to America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone. In fact, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to hit you with Keith early this week, Chris. So get ready.
Thanks.
Yeah, get ready for the debate. Keith always brings a very animated conversation with him when he joins us on the show.
That's one way to describe it, yes.
I always look forward to that. And Congressman-elect.
Yes. That is a nice... Say it again, Tony.
I will. Congressman-elect Burgess Owens will join us again this week. Our good friend Burgess was finally, earlier this week, declared the winner of his race in Utah and will indeed be the next congressman from the great state of Utah. I am so happy for Burgess. Let's start there, Chris. How happy are you for our friend?
I'm very thrilled with him because, you know, we have a relationship with him. We brought him to town a couple of years ago for an event for 97.1 and for the Weekend Report and the Tim Jones Show. Mm-hmm. And he was such a humble guy and had a really great life story, a kind of pull yourself up from your britches after being on top story. And it's just amazing to see a guy who just 3 years ago was a retired NFL player, businessman, writes a book, goes on the bestseller list, ends up being a Fox News regular, comes to St. Louis, does radio for us all around the country. And the next thing you know, Tony, he's congressman-elect.
He's congressman-elect.
It's nuts.
It's nuts, and I'm so happy for him. And what an inspirational guy. What a great story. As you mentioned, he started with nothing, then had everything as a world-class athlete and Super Bowl champion, then lost everything again due to some poor choices and some bad decisions, pulled himself up from that, and not only became a best-selling author, but now, and like you said, a best-selling author and a Fox News contributor and, you know, back in the spotlight, but now winning his race in Utah and going to be the next congressman. And even, I mean, we've known him long enough that he says this every time he's on and whenever he talks about running, how he'd never had any intention of being in government, being a politician. And even when we first met him, he didn't seem to have those aspirations a few years ago. But, you know, as life evolved and things were happening and he realized that maybe he could impact, some change, some positive change if he was able to serve the country in the United States Congress. He made that decision, and now he's won the race, and he's going to be in the House. Awesome. What a story.
It's a great story. And, you know, Tony, because he's been high profile these last few years, he's going to be an instant star once he gets in Congress. He's going to be doing a lot of media. He's going to be very high profile. And he's going to be able to set the agenda and the tone for a post-Donald Trump Republican Party.
So he'll have a vote in January as far as the leadership is concerned in the House of Representatives. So I'm going to ask Burgess if he's going to vote for Nancy Pelosi to retain her speakership. I wonder what he'll say.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here, really far out on the limb, and say that he's going to vote for the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy,
yeah,
instead.
You think so? Well, I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out. You're probably right.
You know, there's a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's like a classic. Mm-hmm. That's not one of the ways that you do that, by winning friends in Congress by voting for the opposite party.
Yeah, no kidding.
Leader.
So let's dive right in. Of course, the presidential election remains the number one headline across the country, even though we are now weeks away from the actual election date. Rudy Giuliani, a couple days ago, had a very well-publicized and fiery press conference with other members of Trump's legal team. How did you feel about that press conference and just the general state of the various lawsuits and challenges that the Trump team continues to pursue in regards to the election?
Well, I have to say, Tony, I'm disappointed in you, actually. Mm. You are a seasoned newsman, and you missed the most important part of that story, which was the hair dye rolling down Rudy Giuliani's face. That's what we should be talking about here.
Yeah. It's a good, not a good look. But what do you think about the status of these lawsuits and the validity of these lawsuits and the potential for success?
Well, I think it's what a lot of supporters of the president have been saying. A lot of the detractors of the president have been saying, and we haven't really seen a lot of proof, if any. The Sidney Powell gives a very, very compelling story about Dominion and its connections to Hugo Chavez and Venezuela and the manipulation of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. It gives a very good story, but we haven't seen any definitive proof. And the votes that have been recovered in Georgia are not nearly enough to close the gap to help the president win Georgia. Mm-mm. And some of these other lawsuits that he has filed that allow Republican observers to be able to look at the counting and things of that nature aren't bringing any of the votes that are needed to overturn the elections in many of the states that he needs to win the presidency.
Nor did I ever expect them to. And anybody who was hanging their hat on a recount was never going to.
I think Mark Cox is holding his hat on.
No,
I don't believe that.
I mean, there's never been a recount that's ever overturned any election on a national level that I'm aware of. And not only that, if you recounts aren't what is going to prove anything for the president, they're going to have to identify and prove giant chunks of fraud in multiple states, and it's not going to be because a vote counter somewhere put some extra ballots in the wrong basket. It's going to have to be what you just mentioned, that Sidney Powell, one of Trump's lawyers, was indicating in that press conference, that there was systematic voter fraud and illegal activity done that would affect the election on a large level. You're not going to find that type of corruption or enough to change anything by looking at the way that the votes were counted in the various states, in my opinion. What do you think of that?
I agree wholeheartedly. The president's legal team have about 2 weeks until December 14th when the electors certify the election. So if they have proof, And they have steadfastly said they have proof to prove all of these allegations, then they need to start showing it. Because as we've seen these last 10 days since the election, the media and many of the American people are going along the notions that former Vice President Joe Biden is the president-elect, and they can't have that
to call
being
him president-elect?
Cemented in people's minds.
Do you think it's appropriate to call Joe Biden president-elect at this point?
You know, it's not the popular thing to say on this station, probably, and on conservative audience to Republicans, but I do. Until we see any proof that there was misuse of the voting system, then yes, I think he was elected president.
I think technically he probably shouldn't be using president-elect, and technically I don't think we were calling anybody president-elect in the year 2000 when there were lawsuits still pending and we were waiting for the outcome of.
I think Frank will agree that, you know, we were talking about 537 votes in Florida. You know, in this instance, you're talking four or five states with tens of thousands of votes.
But to finish my thought, even though I don't think it's technically right, I have no energy to fight that battle. Like, it doesn't. If the news media
the answer right there.
If the news media wants to call him president-elect, yeah.
It's like, if you want to call him that,
I
great.
I sort of roll my eyes at it.
Roll with the punches on
but
this
I don't have. Yeah, but I don't. It's not worth an argument for me.
Similar to other Congress people calling themselves congressman-elect before all of the votes had been counted. It's, for lack of a better phrase, it's a figure of speech.
Right.
And it's like, former Vice President Joe Biden, blah, blah, blah. President-elect, you say it because it's easier to write in a headline. It's easier to read it in a click. We don't need to get that deep into the fact that, okay, this could be here, this could be here. There's too many variables. It's like we have so much complexity in our lives, Chris, saying president-elect makes it easier for us.
And I think what it signifies, too, is an acceptance of the election results, to be frank with you.
Yeah, which is...
And so I can call him vice president-elect. I'd love to see votes come up that'll put president ahead in many of these states, and he's elected president. I would love to see that. But I have come to an acceptance of the November 3rd election, even though I do think there's rampant fraud.
You sound down, Chris.
I haven't
Chris.
Seen enough fraud.
You sound down.
Chris, is it a victory for Republicans, the Trump team, somebody? Is it a victory for the country if fraud is exposed at a fairly high level, but not enough to come even really close to changing the election? Is that still a victory if we shine a spotlight on fraud that has been committed,
a victory for whom? I mean, Trump supporters.
That's
want
what I'm asking. Is
the
it a
election
victory?
Overturned?
Right. So is that's my question. Is exposing fraud, but not to the level of getting the election overturned, is that still a defeat? Because I would say that that's a victory still. But
I think exposing fraud is very important, especially when you still have two elections outstanding in Georgia that could determine who controls the United States Senate. And mail-in ballots began being mailed out earlier this week. So I think that's where a major part of this fraud comes from, verifying signatures on ballots, other things that have been documented as being wrong. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's a victory in that sense, and that we should focus on it so we don't have it in future elections. But I'm worried, Tony, if this conspiracy is as widespread as Sidney Powell and Trump's lawyers have said, I mean, this could be a constitutional crisis to see fraud on this type of scale, mm-hmm. to see an American election for the president being stolen like this.
And I'll tell you what,
in a deeply divided country that we have already, I would be very afraid of that.
Here's the one thing that I would warn Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and the rest of the Trump team, not that they're listening to me, Although maybe they do download the podcast. You know, that's
hey,
very
man,
possible.
I'll send
that's,
it to them.
Yeah, that's very possible. If you're going to make the types of allegations that you have made this week, you better be able to back them up. Because if you can't, then you have set back any type of argument against fraud or any type of people that are fighting against voter irregularities and voter fraud and things like that. Because if you make these accusations and you don't have the receipts to back it up, the next time somebody thinks that the fix is in and tries to prove it, they will not be taken as seriously because
somebody's cried wolf.
Exactly.
Tony, think of this scenario, though. You know, I think December 14th is the date that the electors vote to formally make Joe Biden the next president.
Yep.
What if they really do have serious evidence, as they claim, and they drop this like December 12th, December 13th, right before the vote? I mean, I could see Trump doing something like this just for the showman aspect of it and just throwing a hand grenade in the middle of a crowded theater.
And you're happy about that thought.
I'm not saying I'm happy about
you're
it.
You're laughing about
I'm
it.
Saying, I'm just saying.
How does that help anybody?
From an entertainment standpoint, yeah.
Right.
But
this is not what we're looking for out of governance for our country.
I want them.
We're not looking for entertainment.
Them, right? I want them
just
to.
Because I came up with this suggestion doesn't mean I'm condoning it or want it.
I'm just concerned that
I'm trying
you're
to
read giggling
the mind
about it.
Of Donald Trump.
Watch your giggles then.
Yeah. Nothing would surprise me, but I would hope that they will present that evidence as soon as they have it gathered and
about December 13th.
Put together, right? All right, we need to take a quick break. Chris, as I always tell you, gird up your loins. Prepare for America's favorite liberal. I have a feeling you two are going to be having that animated discussion momentarily. Keith Antone joins us next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Like a mountain stream.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with producer Frank Ladd and my partner Chris Arps. And as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us now on the phone is our good friend, America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone. Keith, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I am doing fine also. Lots of places that we could start this conversation. We were just talking about the election and Rudy Giuliani and the various Trump lawsuits, but let's set that aside for a second. We'll get into that. We have plenty of time. I want to shift gears to some things that are happening here locally and get your thoughts, Keith, on the new restrictions that are being put in place by Sam Page in the county. And not just the restrictions that have been put in place, but the idea that has been floated out that with the number of coronavirus cases on the rise, that we should be going, you know, reverting back to more of a shutdown phase like we were in several months ago. And just get your thoughts on where we're at on that and what you think about it. Do you support that shutdown idea?
Well, let me say something, Tony. This COVID thing is very, very personal to me. I think I've shared with you guys that I lost my mother-in-law back in May to COVID-19. I just buried an aunt in Memphis a couple of days ago from the COVID-19. Another aunt, her only surviving sister, has COVID-19. I've lost friends with it. I've had friends with it that have survived. So it's kind of personal to me, and I am supporting that. But let me say it with an asterisk. I'm supporting, you know, more restrictions and the lockdown. But if you have people on lockdown and they don't have a way of getting around to make money, and the federal government isn't doing any of the, giving any more of the stimulus checks and or the additional funds for people that are on unemployment, then you're creating a Pandora's box that you know will never get a lid on. So, yeah, I do support it because the numbers, the math doesn't lie. Trump lies, but the math doesn't lie. And so the numbers are going up, and so we are getting more cases and more people are dying. And so we've got to do something. And all I'm saying is that at least if we're doing that, we're being more proactive versus reactive.
Go ahead, Chris.
Keith, Chris Arps, congratulations, my friend, on Joe Biden's apparent win of the presidency. I just wanted to say that to you publicly on air.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the last time us three talked, you know, we were in a heated debate, and I think the American people have spoken, and so you know we need to make sure we have a smooth transition of power. And let's get going. And you know, Trump, I keep telling people, Trump may be leaving the White House, but that's not the last we're going to hear this guy. He'll be doing speeches and his tour and books and all kind of stuff. We're not going to get rid of him, but you know.
Here's my question. You have made it clear that you are not a fan of St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crusoe on your Facebook page. You put up many hashtags saying resign Lyda. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you are not believing Lyda Crusoe's excuse that she is approaching 70 and she wants to do other things in life and retire. I want to ask you, why do you think that she is retiring, and who is your dog in this race?
Let me be perfectly clear. Lyda is lying. That is not the reason. Yeah, she's old, but she's lying. Lying Lyda. The reality is that in the Post-Dispatch, if anybody has not been under a rock and been reading the Post this week, they've been showing them the numerous miscues and missteps and complete utter failure of leadership that she has shown. I've been consistent since January, February on resign Lyda. Now she needs to resign. Do the city a favor. You say you love the city? Well, quit and get the hell out the way. And so I believe that she's doing the right thing, but I believe she's lying when she says she's getting old. Yes, she's getting old. She looks bad. I seen her press conference the other day, and her hair looks like it's falling out, and look like, you know, she might be a, you know, she's just this. Listen, politics.
Now, Keith, you don't have to get personal. Now, who's your dog in the race?
Well, right now, guys, I don't have a dog in the fight. The candidate that I will be supporting has not formally announced that he's running. But, you know, I don't have a problem saying that, you know, I support Lewis Reed. He's got the legislative experience. He's the longest running Board of Aldermen president that we've had in the city of St. Louis. He was very, very effective when he was a Board of Alderman of the 6th Ward. And he's got the experience, and he will be the candidate that could hit the ground running day one, just like Joe Biden will hit the ground running day one with or without the support of Trump.
And Keith, for people that don't follow you on social media or haven't heard you have this discussion before, you're a Democrat. Lyda Crewson is a Democrat. Why have you not supported Lyda and her leadership while she's been mayor?
Well, you know, I won't say that I have not supported her. I did work on the campaign of Lewis Reed when it was a 6-7 person race. I've supported him in everything that he's ever done, and I was willing to give Lyda a chance. But it's been 4 years. She's been an epic failure. She's doxed the protesters by putting out their names and addresses on Facebook. I think she's fumbled this pandemic on how she's handled that. I think she's fumbled that. I don't see that she has an inclusive administration, and I think she is focused on the Central Corridor and everything south of the Del Mar Divide, south of Del Mar. And so it's just a number of things. And if anybody has not lived under a rock this past week, just go out and Google Lyda Crewson in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you'll see they've listed a number of failures that she's had during her tenure. And this is not easy, man. Listen, politics, as you guys know, it's a blood sport, and it can't be for the weak and timid. And this has been wearing on her. She's a ceremonial mayor. She likes to go around and cut ribbons and do all that crap, you know, and go to chicken dinners and sit at the head of the table. You need somebody like Lewis Reed, who's going to hit the ground running day one, and who will get some things done. He knows how to get things done. He was responsible for that major development on Washington Boulevard downtown, and that spurred the whole movement there downtown. And so that's why I'm going to be going with Lewis Reed, and why I'm putting betting the farm on Lewis Reed to be the next mayor of the city of St. Louis.
Talking to Keith Antone. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, Keith, the Post-Dispatch has made no secret that they are not a fan of St. Louis Treasurer Tishara Jones. One of her opponents in 2017 was the former alderman and social justice warrior Antonio French. He was named recently as an editorial writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. There's no love lost between Antonio French and Tishara Jones. Am I just being conspiratorial, or do you see that move there as a means for them to attack Tishara Jones and not be labeled as a racist editorial board?
Well, you know what? First of all, let me say this. They've done a pretty good job of that over the last 5 or 6 years. There've been 23 negative editorials about Tishara. So they don't need Antonio French to do that. I think it's a great move by the Post to try to, you know, to be, you know, more inclusive and diverse. Clearly, it's been lily white males who all live out in the county. So that was a good move by them to diversify. I hope to see more of that from the city's only daily paper. I've heard that, Chris. You're not the first one to say that, because the announcement came shortly after Tishara said she was running for mayor. But you can best believe the Post-Dispatch and all the major TV stations, they don't need Antonio French to barbecue her behind every chance that they get. So no, I'm not gonna buy that. They're not gonna give him a decent salary and benefits just to come on. And then you know that's called a guest editorial. You know, if you just want.
But my point is, Keith, does it give them cover? You know, they're going to be accused of being a racist editorial board without any people of color. If they have someone that is now on the board and who gives an occasional disparaging editorial on Tisharov's management of the treasurer's office and the you know, things of corruption, does that give the Post-Dispatch cover from racism charges?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it does. They've been doing it. Listen, they have Tony Messenger has been about as good for African-American leadership and African-American politicians in this city as coronavirus has for the country. He goes in on every single. It's not just Tashara. She gets a good chunk of it, but he goes in on every single African-American in leadership in this city. And you can best believe your boy over there at Channel 2, you pay for it. Elliot Davis is going to kick it in high gear. He's another one that hates all African-American leadership in this city. So they don't need Antonio for that. And the mainstream media will do just what they do, and that is they will be on attack with or without Antonio. I don't believe that they brought him on for that. And I don't think it gives them any cover. They're going to do it anyway.
I think it'll be interesting because Antonio French was Louis Reed's campaign manager for his first run for Board of Aldermen.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if
that could have some influence on the coverage.
I'm wondering, will his editorials be just as rough on him as they are on Tashara Jones?
You can best believe Antonio showed his true colors. You know, the little yellow belly sap sucker. He showed his true colors when he went out there and went to Washington.
Keith's on
D.C.
fire today, Chris.
Yellow belly sap sucker. Wow.
Yeah. Yellow belly sap sucker. He showed his true colors. The Benedict Arnold told Lewis that he wasn't going to run and that he was going to support Lewis. He went out there to the Democratic National Convention, got all fired up, and started believing his own press release.
Yep.
And so he comes back and after telling Lewis. You know, because I worked on the first one, I worked on the second one, and I'll work on this one. After telling him he was not going to run, Lewis, you know, talked to him, and they were friends, man. You know, and this is what he did. He stuck a knife in his back.
He's giving the audience cool inside Democrat information.
No kidding. I like it.
Well, no, guys, I'm telling you, that's what happened. And so we were just stunned that he would do that. And so, no, he's gonna stick it to Lewis and keep that check coming. You know, you'll be surprised what people do when you got a paycheck behind your name.
Let's keep talking about division in the Democratic Party. Nationally, we've seen a little bit of a battle brewing, and I think it's going to get worse once Joe Biden is in office and, you know, we're officially past all of these lawsuits and everything. That there are many people on the progressive side that, and including leadership from groups like Black Lives Matter, that are telling Joe Biden that he owes them something. That without their support, without the support of the progressives, without the support of groups like BLM, that he wouldn't have been elected president. And there are people on the more moderate side, traditional Democrats, that are saying, look, the reason that we didn't win the Senate and the reason that we lost seats in the House is because we embraced these progressive principles. We don't owe you anything. And in fact, you're making things worse. What do you think about the state of the Democratic Party? And where do you fall, Keith, when it comes to that progressive side and saying, you know, we need to continue to pull the party further to the left? And the traditional, more moderate Democrats saying, no, we need to stay kind of where we've been. Where do you come down on that topic?
Well, you know, I've always considered myself to be a conservative, a liberal and Democrat and kind of middle of the road guy. I can see good in everything.
Half our audience just ran off the road right then.
Right. I know. But the reality here, guys, I think, you know, I was just talking to my wife today about politics in general. And here's the thing. There's divisions and different, you know, fractions within the party. And if, as long as everybody comes to the table and everybody gets something that they want, you're not going to get 100% of what you want. And nobody does in life. I don't get 100% of what I want in my relationship with my wife after 22 years. It ain't 100% of what I want. I get most of what I want, and she gets more of what she wants. and in negotiation 101, you know, it's about can I get something?
Let me say this, though, Keith. Let me say this, though. This is one I've had this knock on the Tea Party for years, since the Tea Party came and went years ago. And I said that one of the big failures of the Tea Party was exactly what you just said. They were a group, a part of the Republican Party, a group of conservatives that said, this is what we believe in, and it's non-negotiable. We're not moving off of our point even a little bit. And people said what you just said, including me, that you can't, that's not going to work. And the Tea Party, by and large, came and went, and, you know, had some success initially, but then sort of crashed and went away. I see, unless I'm wrong, correct me if you think I am, I see the progressive wing of the Democrat Party doing exactly what the Tea Party did years ago, now saying things, they're using words like non-negotiable. You know, these are their terms. They don't want to move on. They don't want to have that compromise that you were just talking about that I agree with. And I think that could become a very big problem for Joe Biden and the Democrats moving forward. What do you think?
Tony, Chris, my friends, two words for you. Bernie Sanders. Okay? That's it. The reality here is, I think the Democratic Party has spoken. Yeah, we know that the progressive candidate Cori Bush did well here after she beat Lazy Lacey, you know, in August, you know, for that congressional seat, but that's been held by his family for almost like 40 years, right? The reality
years.
Is that the take on Lacey, and this is not my opinion, this is what I've heard when I'm out here in these streets, that he's lazy, that he's done nothing, and he only comes around when it's time for election. And guess what? This is what happens when you're out there. Somebody is going to beat you. Had this been a candidate that has been visible, you know, in their district, I don't think Lacey has lived here in St. Louis in probably 20 years, right? He doesn't even still live in the district. You know, he lives in D.C. And so there's a disconnect there. So I think anybody could have beat him, you know, not just from the Progressive Party. So I agree with you. I think that this thing is going to crash and burn because they're just too far out there. And when you use words like non-negotiable, then we can't even come to the table. Why am I going to have a conversation if I come on here and you guys say, Keith, any and everything you say is stupid and crazy and we shouldn't even give you airtime? Then why would I want to come on here? But at least if you let me come to the table and say my part, doesn't mean, you know, we can agree to disagree. That's why I like you guys. That's why I come on 97.1. Because we agree to disagree, and we listen to each other's point. And I ain't the yes man for the Democrat Party. And you've heard me attack Democrats. You've heard me attack the Republicans. I'm for what's right and how it's going to affect the community and the people, not the individuals. I'm not for the individual win, for the politicians to line up their pockets and for them to win. I'm for the people to win. That's who I want to see win.
Keith, go ahead, Chris. I do have to defend my U City neighbor and congressman, Lacey Clay. He does live in U City. Bought a house here about 3 or 4 years ago.
Is he there very often, though, Chris?
What's that?
Is he there very often, though?
I don't know that. Keith's, I mean, when I say neighbor, I'm saying he lives in U City. Yeah. He's not exactly my neighbor, but apparently he's supposed to live in U City. But here's my question.
Yeah.
You can own property anywhere you want to. That don't mean you live there.
All right. Here's my question. People have waited 50 plus years for that first congressional seat to open, as we all know. You know, Bill Clay had it for 30 years. Bill Lacey's had it for the last 20 years. Cori Bush won a surprising victory. But Keith, do you think in 2 years that she's going to be challenged in a primary, especially if she doesn't go through this without being mistake-free? But if she makes mistakes, are there
loads of people lining up to do you think to challenge her in a primary?
60 seconds, Absolutely. Keith. 60 seconds.
Absolutely, and Lacey is going to be funding and getting behind one. I'm not going to tell you who I think it is because I swore, you know, confidentiality. But I can tell you this:
you've been giving us inside information for the last 15 minutes. You can tell us. Nobody listens to this show, Keith. It's all right.
Here you go. I guarantee you that State Senator Brian Williams, who is a Lacey protege, who is very, very sharp, I guarantee you he's going to run and he will win.
Woo!
Now, my state. He's this, my state senator. Mark,
there you go.
Mark my word. Hear me now and think about it later.
Flag the tape.
It will be Brian Williams, State Senator Brian Williams. He will win. She's a one-hit wonder. That's it. She's out of there. Whatever you say, defund the Pentagon, get the hell out of here.
Keith Antone, thank you so much for your time. It is always great to talk with you, my friend. We'll have you back on again real soon.
Thank you, Keith.
All right, guys. Take care.
You
God
bet.
Bless.
Back at you. All right, got to take a quick break. Don't
go
anywhere.
He brings the fire, doesn't he?
I love talking
dropping
to Keith.
Dropping bombs, dropping knowledge. Today.
Yeah, he was in rare form, and it wasn't too combative for once. So that's pretty good. All right, don't go anywhere. More Weekend Report coming up. Next on 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with producer Frank Ladd and my partner Chris Arps. Went a little long there with our buddy Keith Antone. So we got one more short segment here to wrap up this hour, and then we got a big second hour coming up for you. We're going to talk to John Brown from Fox 2. Going to get his thoughts on some of the big headlines affecting the St. Louis area and talk to him about his new book, which is called Missouri Timeline. A very interesting book celebrating 200 years of the state of Missouri. The state's 200th birthday is next year, so very cool stuff there. And in the next segment, at the top of the hour, we are going to talk to our good friend Burgess Owens. Can't wait
yes.
to have that conversation with Burgess, who we can now officially call Congressman-elect. So cool. Chris, is it me or did you and Keith kind of get along in that last segment?
That was actually part of the plan, Tony. I was going to mention it to you that I was going to be on my best behavior and I was going to be conciliatory and congratulatory to Mr. Antone and not give him a hard time today.
Well, and it was
and
interesting.
And I think I may have succeeded.
It was interesting to hear his take on the division in the Democratic Party and sort of the thinking between the more traditional Democrats and the progressives. And for Keith to take such a firm stance on saying, look, you try to pull our party too far to the left and you're going to split us in half, knock it off. That was pretty interesting.
Look, I think Keith is a smart political animal, and he saw the results a couple of Tuesdays ago that showed that America repudiated liberalism and socialism and almost reelected Donald Trump. That this was an election that people were against Donald Trump and his personality, and Americans that voted for him in 2016 couldn't take him in 2020 and vote him against him. But the Democratic agenda was repudiated.
Yeah, no, unbelievably interesting stuff from from Keith there. So make sure you go and check that out. I want to remind people about our podcast. You can get our podcast each and every week. We release it on just about every platform that you can get podcasts. But I always recommend the radio.com app, because on the radio.com app, you can favorite the radio station, and then you have basically one-stop shopping for everything here. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station right there on the radio.com app. I wanted to kind of give a little PSA, a little piece of information, a little warning to everybody listening. Ameren has issued a warning that I think is important to get out there, that scammers are targeting their customers in the St. Louis area. The scammers are able to make it look like Ameren is calling you on your caller ID, and they will tell you that you are late, and they will threaten canceling your service if you don't pay them immediately. And Ameren says that they will always make initial contact about a billing dispute through the mail. They're not going to call you and make that threat over the phone. This actually happened to a friend of mine who is very savvy when it comes to scams and, you know, that kind of thing, and not falling for it. And they didn't fall for it, but they said that it was believable enough that they had them thinking that when their phone indicated that they were getting a call from Ameren, you know, they thought it was a legitimate call and hung up the phone. It was a business owner, a friend of mine, and they called their business partner and said, "Hey, look, I just got this call from Ameren. What's going on? Are we late on our bill? Blah, blah, blah." And they, you know, were able to determine that it was a scam. But, you know, these are very smart people, and you know, it had them thinking. So I just wanted to make sure we put that out there.
And Tony, I'm hearing unconfirmed reports that the person on the other line had a very distinct Nigerian accent. I don't know how true that is.
I don't know how true that. I don't know how true that is either. But I would imagine that it's very possible that there is a thick accent on the other side.
Everybody
of that call.
In this room has gotten a late bill from Ameren, haven't we?
Oh,
you've
not
paid
ever.
It. You're not in this room.
That's a great point. Dude, 20 years ago, every time the phone rang, it was a bill collector. Uh-huh. So, I've had those discussions with Ameren. I've had those discussions with Charter. I've had those discussions with the water company. I've had those discussions with the trash company.
College loans.
Oh, yeah. All of them. All right. So, yeah. So just keep your eyes open. I mean, obviously, every season is sort of scammer season, but especially now as we're going to the holidays and the weather's changing, a lot of people are trying to take advantage of that. So keep your eyes open. Just wanted to make sure that we put that information out there. All right.
And Nigerian scammers with the name Prince.
We got to wrap up this first hour. We got a great second hour coming up, and we're going to talk to Burgess Owens when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report. Angel, my pretty little queen.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Thank you, Perry Woods. The Weekend Report is on your radio. It is hour number two of The Weekend Report. Thank you so much for joining us. If you missed anything in that first hour, make sure you download our podcast. We put out our podcast each and every week. And you can get the Weekend Report podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app for so many reasons. Radio.com app is free. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this show and every other show on the station, all right there on that radio.com app. Had a real good conversation, long conversation, with our friend Keith Antone, America's favorite liberal, in that first hour, so make sure you go back and check that out. And we have a packed second hour for you. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to John Brown, Fox 2 News anchor and brand new author, John Brown. So we are looking forward to that conversation. And as I mentioned at the end of the last hour, joining us now on the line, we can finally say,
yeah,
Congressman elect Burgess Owens is back on the show. Burgess, congratulations from everyone here at The Weekend Report and our radio station. And on behalf of all of our listeners, I think many of them are huge supporters of you. Congratulations on a hard-fought battle and winning your race.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll say this. You guys have been there from the very beginning when I was at a phase of my life where I said never, ever would I be a politician.
Yes.
So you've seen the transition.
I mentioned that earlier.
Never say never.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the beginning of the show when we were talking about having you on again today, how even when we first met you, you were not interested. You know, a few years ago when we first met you, you were not interested in running for politics, being in politics. You know, things change, and now here you are in politics and at a very high level in the United States House of Representatives. It's a pretty awesome journey.
It really has been, and I had a experience on I guess it was Friday night. Because I came out a day early to do another event. Wasn't sure, you know, where it was going to head off to, and then we decided to take this White House tour on Friday night. And I'm one of those guys. I'm not really a tour guy, so I was bored to tears watching looking at these pictures and porcelain and all that kind of stuff. I remember asking the tour, "Well, how long do we have to do this?" and it just so happened we're going through the Red Room in the White House, and I got the call that we got the numbers in. So in one of those areas, one of those towns, I'll never forget where I was. And I'm kind of glad I wasn't in a hotel room looking at TV after all. So it was one of those moments, really great moment for sure.
Go ahead, Chris.
Now, Burgess, our producer, Frank, told us before you came on the line that are you at the White House now?
I'm actually, I went at Leader McCarthy's building. We had a little event over here, and cool. I just got done with it as we were talking. So I'm glad we had to. That we worked that out just perfectly. But by the way, just, you know, what I'm most proud of is this freshman team that you guys are going to have a chance to get to know over the next couple of years. It is a remarkable team of true patriots. Many of them, like myself, never thought about running for office, but we see this window in which we now understand what American-loving leadership looks like. And we decided this might be a time for us to put our hat in the ring, and I think we can make a big difference. So I'm very much honored. Matter of fact, I was thinking about this. When I played the Super Bowl back in 1981, Super Bowl 15, I remember sitting in the locker room just before going out on the football field and thinking, as I'm looking around the room and seeing these all-stars, these guys I've had so much respect for, thinking, I cannot believe I'm sitting here getting ready to go out and play the biggest game of my life. And I have that same feeling now that it's an awesome, humbling feeling to be here at this time with this particular team. With so much at stake for our country, and I'm just thankful for all those who supported me, who prayed for us, for my team, and those, of course, who voted for me in Utah. It's just been a great run. It really has been.
So, Burgess, I told Chris in the audience that I was going to ask you this question when we had you on. You just mentioned being a part of this freshman class coming in. One of the first things that you'll do in January, once you are a member of the United States House, is you guys will be voting on leadership. Will you be voting to keep Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House?
No. No, but you know, here's what's kind of cool about where we
Frank
are.
Frank is very disappointed.
I've talked about this a few times. I have so much trust in the American people and so much faith in what we do at the right time. For the right reasons. And here we are, guys. We're going into this particular class, and we have the smallest margin. They have the smallest margin of leadership since World War II. So what it's going to take, what it's going to say is this. Those who call themselves moderate but really weren't and continue to vote for Pelosi's leftist ways, they're no longer around. Many of them are no longer here. Mm. So those who want to maintain their seat and be part of this next Congress will have to start working with those of us who truly care about those tenets that make our country great. The socialist Marxist ways will not work. We made sure that's obvious. And for those who want to continue to vote in that light against our opportunities for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, then we can even get a much bigger, stronger group of freshmen next time around. So I'm excited that we've put those guys on notice. They have to come to work every single day, and we have to start looking at working across the aisle to make sure our country moves forward.
It's Burgess Owens. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, that was very interesting what you said, and I heard this before somewhere else, where when we took over the Congress in 94, the Newt Gingrich Revolution, that the 92 class was a historic class. There was a lot of new members like this current class, a lot of women, a lot of diversity, and two years later, they took over the Congress. So it looks like, Burgess, that the class of 2020 is poised to take over
in 2022 or to help take over. One question that I have for you, Burgess, here's a hard-hitting question for you. Do you plan on joining the Congressional Black Caucus as a freshman member of Congress?
Absolutely not. And it comes down to the very simple this. It comes down to this. It's not what we do and how we look outside. That's the diversity that so many people kind of put a focus on. It's all about what we care about inside, and we care about our country. Those of us who are conservative care about our nation. We care about our particular communities we service. And what I found out, and I've talked about this, the Black Caucus has voted against my race as long as they've been around. They've turned everything that I grew up in, the great community of loving country, loving family, entrepreneurship, jobs, and creating jobs. They've voted against that every single step of the way. So my goal is to expose it. My goal is to expose the hypocrisy of those who do very well in this country, and yet to turn around and tell the rest of my race and the rest of the country that we can't do the same thing. So I'm going to be a voice. Might not be very popular with the left, but I think it's time for us to wake up and recognize that it's not our skin tone that makes us great Americans. It's how we love our country, love our God, love our community, love each other, and want the very best. And we vote in that way. We don't vote against them. And it's time for us to recognize what that looks like.
Burgess, I've said many times that I think that you are one of the most powerful people I have ever heard deliver that message. And I'd like you to do it again here, maybe in a condensed form, a couple of minutes. But for people that are hearing you say that and maybe scratching their head saying, what do you mean the Congressional Black Caucus is working against the African-American community? Could you point out some examples or, reasons that you believe the Democrats have not had the best interest of African-Americans at heart?
Absolutely. Well, let me just, first of all, kind of put it in context. You have to understand the community I grew up in the days of KKK, Jim Crow, and segregation, just like every other community. Mine was very proud of who we were, very proud Americans. We led the country in the 60s. In the growth of middle class, men matriculated from college, men committed to marriage over 70%, and the percent of entrepreneurs over 40%. That was a community I grew up in, which meant across our country, in these segregated communities, 50 to 60% of Black Americans were part of the middle class. We now have this group of Black people who come and tell us to give these promises. And what do? They vote for as much abortion as they can finally get. And they put those abortion centers in the Black community that is attacking our families. They vote against they vote against job opportunities. They vote against pro-choice in schools. So our kids in the state of California, 75% of Black boys in the state of California cannot pass standard reading and writing tests. Why? Because we have the labor union, the leftist labor union full of Marxists that the Black Caucus supports. Baltimore's 13 schools have zero proficiency in math. These kids growing up have no choice. I could be a drain on our community because they will not have hope in our country. They'll become one day socialists and Marxists because they have not been taught about the free market. So, no, it was not white supremacists who did my community in. It was Black elitists. And it's time to point these people out, show them, have them prove to us what their value has been to the Black community. They've been giving us promises for 60 years, and yet none of that has come true until President Trump comes along. He gives us the lowest unemployment in the history of mankind for Blacks, Hispanics, Asians, women, veterans. A 400% increase of Black business ownership. And what do these Black caucus people do? They sit on their hands with a big scowl on their face because they're upset that President Trump is exceeding what they did not. So, no, this has to be pointed out. And right now we have 18% of Black men voted for President Trump. We had double of the Black women from 6 to 12%. We're leaving that plantation big time. I'm excited about it. And I'll be pointing out exactly why we're doing this and why the Black caucus will lose more and more of their power as we start telling the truth to those who they've been serving and misserving for decades.
That is the Super Bowl champion, best-selling author, and United States Congressman-elect Burgess Owens. Got a few minutes left here with Burgess. Go ahead, Chris.
Burgess, I was going to ask you, I don't know if they have given you yet your committee assignments, but what are your committee assignments and what committees are you seeking to serve on?
We're now going through that process as we speak. Obviously, you guys have heard me talk. I am big on education. I think that's our really where, ignorant and free can never be. That was Thomas Jefferson. So education will be one, small businesses is the other. I have to see where that fits, how it fits. But it comes down to very simply this. The small businesses, it creates our middle class. Our middle class is the magnet for people across our country, around the world, because this is where people come. They find hope, they find service, patience, love of community. That defines our middle class. We need to make sure that we expand that out, because right now the left is trying to destroy the middle class. That's what they're after. We need to make sure through small business ownership we can get that done, and being educated to think outside the box and to have these kind of talks. Well, even if we don't agree, we can agree to disagree because we have confidence in who we are, and we can have respect for another opinion.
Burgess, the last time we talked to you was immediately after the election, about 2 weeks ago, and you know your race hadn't been called yet. They were still counting in the presidential election in several places, but there were already the lawsuits and things like that put into place. And at that time, you told us that you had a lot of faith in the president's legal team and the lawsuits that they had filed, and thought that in the long run they would be able to prove the fraud and come out on top. A couple weeks later now, how are you feeling about where we stand with the presidential election and the various lawsuits the Trump campaign has filed?
Well, I'll say this, and again, the trust in the American people comes down to everything I talk about. Mm-hmm. We have elected a guy, of all the people that have to go through this process, he's the right one. He's a tenacious fighter. He wants the best for our country. And I tell you, however this ends at the end of the day, the American people are now getting a good view of what we've been fighting against for decades. This last year, they can now see what it is to have their businesses shut down, their churches shut down, they can't go to school, and all by the same type of people. So we as a people are waking up. We're having conversations now that we might not have had 2 or 3 years ago, if not for this pandemic and all the issues we're going through, and including our election process. We now see that there's corruption, and we need to make sure we clean this up. By the way, coming out of Philadelphia, it's been known, it's an open secret for 23 years I've lived there, that they cheat. So we need to make sure that we, the people, whatever our voices are, needs to be counted, needs to be appreciated. We cannot have people decide they want to do their own thing and will cheat us out of what our rights are. So this is a good wake up, and I think we'll come out of this in a much fresher, with fresher eyes, to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Chris, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just saying, Burgess, I'm so happy that you're in Congress. It's just an amazing journey, just your life story from where you started to being a professional football player, to Super Bowl, to being in Congress. You told that story well at our event that we had, and I just look forward to seeing you in the coming years telling that story and rising up the ranks and being a real voice and a leader for the American people.
And you're going to be our insight. You're going to be our insight to Congress, Burgess.
Okay.
When we want to know what's going on the inside, you're our go-to guy now. I hope that's okay.
Thank you.
He is the official congressman of the Weekend Report. We got him on record saying he agreed to that.
Can I say this one little thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Into that, it's so important. We went through that process, Chris, of what I did playing football. Keep in mind, in between, I lost everything. It was a chimney sweep during the day and a security guard at night. That is the part of the story that we need to make sure we're telling people, because this country is about second chances. And my message is the greatest 9 words we can tell each other as Americans: if I can do it, you can do it. So for those out there going through rough times, it might have to be a chimney sweep for a little bit, might be a city guard for a while. If your goal is to make a difference, it might lead you one day to being a congressman. So hey, it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Burgess.
All right.
No. Yeah. Burgess, no weenies, no wimps, no whiners.
You got that right.
I heard that before somewhere.
Burgess, I'm so used to telling people Burgess for Utah if they want to learn more about you. What do we tell people now if they want to keep up with what you're working on in Congress and, get your opinion on the issues? How do they do it?
Still go there. Still go there, because we still have a lot to do. Matter of fact, we're working hard, very hard, to make sure we win the season in Georgia. So whether it be fundraising for those guys or me being on the street now, feet on the street there, we're going to make sure we get our Senate back. So Burgess for Utah, go there. We find out the latest and any updates we want to send out. We'll send it to that process.
That is the great Burgess Owens, Congressman-elect. It sounds so good to say that finally. Burgess, we always appreciate your time. Love talking with you, and we will do so again very, very soon, my friend.
I look forward to my friends. Really do. Yeah. All the best, guys.
Back at you. All right. Let's go ahead and take another quick break here. And as I mentioned, when we get back, we will talk to John Brown, Fox 2 anchor and author of the new book, An Illustrated Timeline, 200 Years of Heroes and Rogues, Heartbreak and Triumph. It's all about the state of Missouri. We're going to talk to John about his book and get his thoughts on some of the big headlines when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. That slow jam, Chris.
I love that.
That's
I love it.
That's the quiet storm. Right?
Not exactly, but yeah, close.
Kinda. Welcome back to here we go. Oh yeah. All right.
Never heard this much of a song before.
I know, we gotta get we're on the radio here. We gotta get it together. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with my partner Chris Arps and producer Frank Ladd. Great conversation there with Burgess Owens. Chris, it's so nice to say the words congressman-elect.
It is, and it's well-deserved. And as I said in the segment, I'm really looking forward to see the impact that he's going to make in the Congress in the years to come.
Yeah, just want to remind people, if you missed anything from today's show or you just want to go back and hear it again, you can do so by downloading our podcast. You can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts. But I always recommend the Radio.com app, because once you have the Radio.com app, which is free, you can favorite 97.1 FM Talk, and then you can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station, all right there on the Radio.com app. So if you missed any of that conversation with Congressman-elect Burgess Owens, you can go back and check it out. And if you miss any of this interview with our friend John Brown, you can do the same. As I mentioned at the end of that last segment, John Brown from Fox 2 joins us on the phone right now. He's got a brand new book out all about the state of Missouri. And so it's great to catch up with you, John. How's it going?
Hey, guys. Afternoon. Still morning.
Hey.
Morning. Depends on where you're at, when you're listening, all that stuff.
Right. And with a late night football game last night on the TV side, right. Yeah, I'm in a daze right now. So that's I don't know. Right. I didn't know what day it is.
No, absolutely. Let's, you know, there's so much to talk about. I do want to get your thoughts on some of the issues that we're facing here nationally and locally. But first, I want to hear about the book. Tell us about the book, the inspiration behind writing it, and how people can find it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that Missouri's bicentennial, our 200th birthday, is coming up next year. And this was supposed to be the year of the big buildup for the party, right? Everybody
right.
would, like, the state of Missouri was going to be putting things in place. You were going to start seeing all this 2021 memorabilia going up. And it got shut down.
Yeah.
And so my book came out right in the midst of a pandemic, which, by the way, if you ever write a book, writing a book during a pandemic when bookstores are closed is not always the best idea. I'm just going to throw that out there. But now it seems, now that we've gotten past the election, if we've gotten past the election.
Yeah. When we get past the election.
Right. People are starting to, you know, are going to start being really aware of it, especially heading into the holidays, because it is going to be a big celebration in Missouri next year, our 200th birthday. And so I've got this book and actually two or three more coming out next year, all about Missouri's history and why we should be so proud of this state.
Yeah, absolutely. So the title of the book is Missouri, An Illustrated Timeline, 200 Years of Heroes and Rogues, Heartbreak and Triumph. Tell us about some of the stories that are in the book.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You know, and that's one thing, and I always say, I don't consider myself a historian. That's somebody who teaches in a college setting or at a high school or something like that. I'm just a guy who lived in 20 different places all in Missouri, and from my reporting in all these different cities all over Missouri, I just became incredibly interested. As I bounced around, I'd find out neat stories or famous people from different parts of Missouri, and I started making a list, and that became my first book, Missouri Legends, which is famous people from the Show Me State. And as you can imagine, famous people did famous things. So a lot of those famous people did amazing things that we don't realize. But digging into this book and talking to all the historians that helped me put this together, you really realize how Missouri was so pivotal in so many moments, like the Civil War, like the civil rights struggles. You know, all these things where we just kind of take it for granted that it happened elsewhere. But oftentimes, Missouri being right in the middle and so politically divided, we were the tipping point for a lot of that. So it gave me a good perspective on how important we have been over, as a state. And again, we're not just flyover country. And that's one of the things that I find the most joy is talking to student groups or other people to say, you know, this inferiority complex we have in Missouri is so unwarranted. The number of famous people, significant events that have happened here, inventions. And, like, you know, you look at the history of aerospace with Missouri and St. Louis in particular, you start to realize how important we've been. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it brings a lot of joy to be able to introduce that or reintroduce that to people when they read the book and say, wow, I had no idea all this stuff happened here. And then, you know, then I talk to student groups and I say, you can't use the fact that you're in a small state in the middle of the country as an excuse not to achieve great things, because people have done it, use their roadmap, and you can do it too. So to me, it's really inspirational to put it out and also talk to people about it as well.
Talking to John Brown. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, Tony is born and raised in St. Louis. I've been here since I was 2 years old. So we pretty much think we know St. Louis. But give us one fact that we would be surprised to know about St. Louis, either an historical figure or an invention here or something that we'd say, huh, I didn't know that.
Well, let me do this one, because the next book I'm writing is kind of a scientific angle of this. And so I'm in the midst of this right now. So we have another astronaut blasting off, or is going up to the International Space Station, is on his way. He's probably there by now. That's a guy from mid-Missouri. You know, we had Bob Behnken, who went from mm-hmm. Pattonville to be the first person on the SpaceX Dragon capsule. Mm-hmm. And then I'm digging back into the history of McDonnell Douglas, and we built so many of the machines that took us into space. You know, you look back at this stuff, and you're like, wow, we have been so pivotal. Like, even the fire brick, right? This is one of those that I stumbled upon. There's a fire brick plant in Mexico, Missouri, the old yeah. AP Green fire brick plant. Yeah. Those bricks were so unique. That's what NASA used to build the Kennedy Space Center.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's little stuff like that that it still gives me chills. You're like, man, what an impact we've had with these astronauts. And like Linda Godwin, one of the former, one of the top-notch astronauts, a lot of them trained at UMR, Missouri S&T now. I still can't say that. But but yeah, I mean, just from the aerospace, and, you know, we built the Corvette here. People know that. And you see the technological advances. It really is cool to see that kind of history and the people who still live amongst us who were a part of that and did that here.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
And that brick company that you mentioned in Mexico, Missouri, was owned by Senator Kit Bond's family. That's how they made their their fortune, was with that company.
If you ever drive through Mexico, and I used to MC the Miss Missouri pageant for years, and you drive into town, there's that big mansion over there on the right-hand side as you're going in. That's Kit Bond's family, just so you know. And I know Kit lives here in town. But, yeah, he has quite the spread. Grew up on quite the spread there in mid-Missouri.
Yeah, you know, we probably just take it for granted. I mean, every state, right, every state has, I'm sure, impressive history and things that they can talk about. But you mentioned us. We're right in the middle of the North and the South. Right in the middle of the East and the West. We're right on the border of one of the most important rivers. You know, it bodies of water in the entire country. So it's not surprising that there is so much history packed into our state. And I think that anybody that has any interest in that stuff, this book is definitely for them.
Well, it's been rewarding too for people who read it and say, wow, you know, you think about transportation. By the way, one thing I want to clear up, we have so much stuff where we say, well, we were the first, like SLU, the first university west of the Mississippi. Yeah. Okay, let me just say, everything that happened in Missouri was the first west of the Mississippi, okay?
Exactly.
Because we were the only way across the Mississippi at one point.
We were on the west of the Mississippi.
Right, right. So let's stop that. Of course we were. We were the only thing here. So let's not take a great deal of pride in that. But, you know, as western migration, everything came through St. Louis or St. Genevieve and on their way west, the ponies, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The roads, everything came through here. And it gives you a good perspective of, like, with the Missouri Compromise, you know, we were the tipping point for states' rights in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And it's just all this stuff that kind of melded right here. And with us being, you know, and here's one that you said, what's something unique about our state or St. Louis? Our early lawmakers, we're talking 1820s, right, were smart enough to realize that they didn't want the capital of Missouri, this new state, to be based in St. Louis. Because St. Louis was the territorial capital of the Louisiana Purchase area. So they said, we don't want it to be like Washington, D.C., where the capital of our new state is on the eastern border, but yet we have to control and govern this entire state. So they picked a spot out in the middle of Missouri along the bluffs, didn't even have a name for this place, called it the City of Jefferson. That became Jefferson City. We are the only state in the country that actually picked a town and developed a town to be the seat of government. Because our forefathers were smart enough to say, we don't want it to be here. We want to put it in the center so people can easily get there as our state grows. I thought that was amazing foresight. That's one of those stories that I even grew up in mid-Missouri around Jeff City, and I never knew that part of the story. That was pretty cool to me.
Go ahead, Chris.
John, you're an amateur historian. One thing that I've always wondered, you know, when you watch old Westerns, St. Louis is always mentioned. St. Louis at one time was the fourth largest city, you know, in the country in terms of population. You know, we sit on two rivers. I always look at it, St. Louis should have been Chicago. How come St. Louis never became Chicago? It seemed like we had everything going for us, but Chicago supplanted us. Why is that?
Man, now you're talking philosophy. So from what I've seen is maybe some of the same issues we face right now is territorialism in Missouri. You know, a lot of the forefathers here in St. Louis had that East Coast thing that we always talk about. You know, we think we're an East Coast city based here. And I think there was a lot of territorialism. Is that the people who came here early had the money, had the power, and they liked it that way. And so I think they really locked down the control of things, and maybe that hampered the growth. And I'm just reaching for straws, right? This is my own philosophy.
Sure.
Because I still see that, is that maybe one of the reasons we can't grow as a region is that people who are doing so well and have done so well over the past 200 or 300 years are fine. You know, why would we allow new money to come in? Why would we allow growth? Because I've already got mine. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that was the same situation back then. The people who controlled things were fine, so they didn't allow new things to happen.
Right.
And again, that's just my own philosophy, because I see it playing out now in the city of St. Louis, is we don't allow new ideas often to come in. We don't allow new governance. We don't allow things because a lot of people are doing fine, so they don't need to allow other people to come in and make the pie bigger. It's a small way of thinking, but I think there might be something to that.
Talking to John Brown from Fox 2 about his new book, Missouri, An Illustrated Timeline. John, we have a few minutes left. I did want to touch on some headlines here with you while we had you on the phone. Locally, obviously, the coronavirus situation is once again, you mentioned it, you know, it affected your book. It affected the celebration of Missouri's bicentennial. And, you know, it's rearing its ugly head once again. And there's a lot of debate happening out there. You know, you can, you know, in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, you have a lot of restrictions, but you go into St. Charles County and the restrictions aren't nearly as much. And, you know, there's just a lot happening right now. How do you break down where we're at with coronavirus in the area and the various debates around what is the proper way to handle it?
It's actually, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but my degree is in biology and chemistry. I was set to go to medical school in 94, and one of my best friends is an infectious disease specialist. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those who doesn't think there should be as extreme a lockdowns. People who are facing severe health problems, he says probably should be. I don't know, right? It's not my industry right now, but here's one thing I do know. And we got into a big debate with some of our legal experts yesterday, and it's going on Facebook right now, is mandates. You know, do you do a mandate? And we all heard Governor Parsons say, if I issue a mandate for masks, then I'm going to have to issue a mandate for vaccines. And I find that very interesting, because if 52% of people say I'm not going to get a vaccine right now, including a lot of Democrats because of distrust of how it's been handled or whatever with President Trump. If you're going to say, well, you need to institute a mask mandate to prevent the spread for public health, the same thing could fall in line with a vaccine. And I don't think people want a vaccine mandate. So that to me has been the most eye-opening thing over the past week of that debate and from our legal experts and how other states are going to happen or are doing that. So I'm just saying, watch out for the next couple of months, how that rolls out in other states, because there will be a push for some states to push for a mandatory vaccine. I don't know how that's going to go. But I also know that these arbitrary county decisions don't work, right? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lock down St. Louis County, and we've had friends say, hey, just meet us out in St. Charles County. And you think, oh, really? This is not effective then.
Right.
So
amen. We drive on Saturdays over to St. Charles County from my house in Florissant to get a fountain soda from QT. Like, literally, like, hey, my wife loves QT fountain sodas, and we can't get them in St. Louis County. So I will literally, on a Saturday afternoon, drive across the river 10 minutes and get a fountain soda for her, because that's where I have to get a fountain soda. It's ridiculous.
Right. And but I will say this, because I was just recently in Springfield and Branson, and I stopped at a little gas station down close to Doolittle, I think was the town, close to where I was. And I almost got into a fight because I was wearing a mask. I didn't know the rules going in.
Oh,
there was a guy behind the counter and his good old boy buddy who dropped a few F-bombs on me, asking me what I was doing with a mask on. Am I some sort of commie? And I'm like,
I don't know the rules. Yeah.
Right. So it's just as ridiculous on both extremes.
Both sides.
It's like,
exactly right.
Guys, let's think about this. Yeah, I know you don't like people telling you to, but you shouldn't be offended that I'm going to. Now, I will also say this. I succumb to peer pressure. I took it off because I didn't want to fight two guys.
Well, I don't blame you one bit.
Okay. I'm out of my element here. You guys have home court advantage. You guys are one call away from getting 50 people here, so I'm taking the mask off. Right?
Only got a couple of minutes left here, John. Yeah. You got one more for him, Chris?
Yeah, I do. First of all, John, I want to congratulate you on your political TV show that was nominated for a regional Emmy. The co-host Hancock and Kelly are down the hall here at Camo X. You guys do a great job with that. So I want to ask you a political question, of course. How surprised were you that St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson decided not to run for re-election? Was that a surprise to you?
I was and I wasn't. I mean, from the standpoint of most politicians don't bow out after one. On the flip side, can you imagine governing this city right now with everything you're facing? I mean, you talk about one of the most difficult cities in the country to govern. And, you know, I think we were starting to see some good things happen before COVID. But before that, I mean, it was just one bad news item after another. Mm-hmm. And then when they changed how the mayor is going to be elected, I think maybe part of the decision would be that she didn't see how she could win it the next time. So she's 68. I don't blame her. Quite frankly, I was surprised. Yes. Do I blame her? Absolutely not. You know, I don't know that there's a path to victory on the next round. I'm not for sure. Surprised, but I guess not really all that much.
That's John Brown from Fox 2. John, before we let you go, tell people one more time about the book and how they can get it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Missouri Timeline. And, you know, one of the websites that I run is called Missouri Legends, and it's all the famous people from Missouri. I have them all listed there. But it's also like the biggest houses in Missouri, the biggest school districts, all these top 10 lists. And so if you're looking for a holiday gift item, I sign them. I personalize them. So there you go.
What page is Tony Colombo on that Legends book?
He's in the draft. He's on a draft right now.
Chris, you and I will get our own chapter in the next book. So that's
the next book.
So yeah, again, the website is MissouriLegends.com, and you can buy the book from there. It's out in all the other places, but the only place to get signed copies is on my website, and that's what I'm doing all weekend. Since it's about to get cold, I'm going to be signing books and shipping them out this weekend. So if you need a gift idea, I'll personalize it however you want for mom, dad, grandma, whatever.
Good stuff. John Brown, always great to talk with you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
all right, guys. Talk to you.
You bet. All right. Let's take another quick break. And got more Weekend Report coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Scratch your name. I knew if I went first, you'd probably do the same. Nothing ventured is nothing gained. Your loss was the whole world's pain, and I miss you.
No, you didn't. You had no idea.
I was watching you.
I know, but you didn't have any
idea. Always hits the note perfectly. Best air guitarist West of the Mississippi, as John Brown would say.
But Chris he's Arps. Terrible on the Mark Cox Show about coming in with the Shaft line.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, there's the delay.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he's going to blame the delay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about giving air guitar lessons. What do you think?
I'll you know what? I won't do it. I'm too old. It's too late for me, but I'll send my kids.
Okay.
You know, they can learn from the best. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. Man, I told you we had a packed show for you today. If you missed anything, make sure you go back and get the podcast. We talked to our buddy Keith Antone in the first hour. We've also talked to Burgess Owens, the now congressman-elect from the state of Utah, and just wrapped up that great conversation with John Brown from Fox 2, not only about some issues in the area, but also his new book about the state of Missouri. So if you missed anything
for
this show, John's a great guy. Burgess is a great guy. Keith, great conversation, great guy. Very good show today. If you missed any of it, make sure you go back and check out the podcast. I want to do this story real quick. I talked about this on the Dave Glover Show this week, but I find it to be very, very funny, and I wanted to get your guys' reaction to this as well. Do you guys remember LeVar Ball?
Oh, yeah.
He had the kids. His sons are very good basketball players, and he started the Big Baller
and
brand.
He was their biggest fan.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he definitely is. So quick little history lesson. Him and Donald Trump were friends, kind of, and then they had a very public feud that was more LeVar Ball feuding with the president than anything. One of his sons, was LiAngelo Ball, was when he was playing for UCLA, if you remember, got arrested in China for stealing sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store with a couple of his teammates. President went over, negotiated some stuff, got the kids out of there, and got them back to the United States. Initially, LeVar Ball and his family and everybody, you know, were praising the president, but then, like, suddenly said they no longer that they were mad at the president, that he actually was taking credit for their release and he didn't do anything. They were mad. They were mad at him for not letting them ride back from China on Air Force One. They had to fly, I guess, commercially home. And they
how
were,
dare them.
So anyway, so LeVar Ball this week was being interviewed, and he says that the reason that Trump lost the election is because because of his relationship with LeVar Ball. If he would have stayed friends with LeVar and the Big Baller brand, he would have won the presidency. He said, quote, if he would never have acted a fool, he'd still be president. I would have been there for him. I would have helped him out. You want to act crazy with the Big Baller? Guess what happens? Anybody real crazy with me don't last long. Anyone mess with a Big Baller? In the long run, it's not going to work out for you. He continues.
Oh, there's more.
He continues.
I'm just stunned by this.
If Trump would have accepted my shoes and not acted a fool, he would still be president. Now he got to go. Oh, well. All Donald Trump had to do was take LeVar Ball's shoes, and he would have won the election. Who knew?
Huh, so simple.
Well, that's what all the inside polling is saying, and the numbers are saying.
LeVar Ball,
Ice Cube, Jeezy, and who left? 50 Cent.
It's Weezy.
That was the winning combination right there.
He said,
so
if he never
president
did that,
just a valuable opportunity.
LeVar Ball said, if he never did that to the Big Baller, I would have been like, Trump's our guy. Let's roll. And everyone would have been like, we're voting. Let's go.
Everyone.
He also said that Trump tried to call him recently because Trump realized that he was struggling in the polls. And so as a last second lifeline, he tried to contact LeVar Ball. And LeVar Ball said, I'm not accepting his call. When he's down on his luck, he want to call a Big Baller and get back some love. I told him to call Lil Wayne.
Is recreational marijuana legal out there where he lives?
I'm having a tough time. I'm having a tough time believing, honestly, whether or not that phone call part is not true. I mean, it's
you
very
think Trump
quite
called LeVar Ball and LeVar Ball told him to call Lil Wayne.
Yes, I think that's legitimately possible. Sadly enough,
I don't. I mean, look, in 2020, nothing surprises me. But I think
would that
I think
really
LeVar Ball,
you?
Referring to himself in the third person,
Donald
as Big
Trump
Baller
has a big Rolodex.
He does.
And they were friends at one point.
Yeah, I don't think he.
That's
seriously, there's got to be a list of 10,000 people in this country easily that have more influence over people's voting habits than LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think Donald Trump could have reached out to anybody.
Does he
How about
still
Kanye?
Have any influence, though?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Kanye has influence,
right? So it's like
Lil Wayne has influence,
right?
I don't think
LeVar. I don't think LeVar Ball has any.
I don't think he has that. Yeah, so I don't think Trump was calling him. Although now we know, had he just accepted the shoes, he would have.
Tony, that's fake news.
He'd be president.
That's fake news.
Which what part? Is?
That he would have accepted. No, no, no. All the quotes are very real. All the quotes from LeVar Ball are very, very real. I'm not sure that I agree that if he would have accepted the shoes, he would have won. But that's one man's opinion, apparently.
He's out there, ain't he?
All right, we got to go. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Weekend Report. Once again, if you missed our conversation with Keith Antone or John Brown or Burgess Owens, make sure you download our podcast on the radio.com app. And we'll be back here same time next week. For producer Frank Ladd and my partner Chris Arps, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.